We are going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about a very important subject for the life of First Baptist Church. We're going to talk about finding and following the vision. And as we begin to talk about that, I recognize that we have to understand what we're talking about. We have to know what these things kind of mean when we talk about vision and goal and that kind of stuff. I had been a part of First Baptist Church for about 6 months when I was in a Wednesday night Bible study that we had. We were still in the old facility, and I passed out a piece of paper. And it was a small questionnaire, and it was a question that simply asked, what is the reason that First Baptist Church exists? And everybody turned an answer in. The answer was kind of different in some ways, because everybody's answer was different. There were no two people that put down that we existed for the same reason. The other thing that I noticed is everything that was written down, well, not everything, almost everything, there was one answer that was out of left field a little bit, but every other answer really was quite good. It was quite good. But what it reminded me of, have you ever played tug of rope when you were a kid at camp or anything like that, where you have two teams where you're pulling against each other, right? Well, it was kind of like that is what that reminds me of, only there are ropes going all sorts of different directions. And we're all pulling in one direction, but it's the direction we think is important. Can you imagine what it would be like if a church could ever all pull in the same direction? You see, that, I believe, is what God intends for His bride. I believe that God intends that each of us recognizes the goal that He has and that the vision, our piece of the puzzle that He wants us to do, and that we focus on that singularly together, and we pull and push in the same direction. We could accomplish awesome things. We might lay down our lives years from now, and our legacy would be of what we did in the communities of which we are a part, because God has given us a vision and we were willing to follow it. Today, we're going to, as we begin this talk about vision, we need to start with a question, really. We're going to talk about making God's goal our goal. What do you think God's goal for the church is? Now when you think of a goal, recognize this. A goal isn't something that you attain and then get something else. Not, this isn't what I mean by that. A goal is once you reach it, it's done, it's over, it's completed. What is God's goal for the church? And I want to say to you that you've got to recognize that this goal is not just for our church, but it's for every church that has ever existed or will ever exist. This goal is the overarching thing that God wants to accomplish. And when He accomplishes it, brothers and sisters, it's over. It's done. The goal is reached. Do you know what that is? Okay, good, because I'm going to show you. Take a Bible, take your outline that's in the program. If you really just can't make yourself read something else, then look up at the screen. But I encourage you to take a Bible so that you can follow along and recognize the Word of God being different from the Word of Bob. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul answers the question for us of what is God's goal. Jesus answers it in another way, and we're going to also think about that one. But what is God's goal? You know, when He started time, He wound up the clock of time. What was He planning on? What was it about? When He created the universe, why? What was it about? When He formed Adam and Eve, what was the goal? What was the goal with the Israelites? What was the goal with Jesus on the cross? What is the goal? What's He trying to accomplish? In the 20th verse of the first chapter of Corinthians, Paul states the goal. It is this: to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The goal is really very simple. God's goal is to bring all things into a right relationship with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the plan. It's not just for people. It's for all things, even the creation. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, when he talks about the creation itself will be liberated from its decay. The sin of Adam and Eve, our sins, have infected and impacted even the world in which we live. And God's plan, his goal, is to restore all things into a right relationship through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's his goal. And what we have to be willing to do, friends, is to make God's goal our goal. How does God work? I mean, how does he work? What does he use to make things happen? You see, I remember in my life when I didn't know God was real. I remember being that person who was literally crumbling in decay because of the sin of my life. What did God use to change my life? You know what he used? It was a who. He used people. In fact, part of God's plan is to use people. He accomplishes his purposes through people. And that's good news and that's bad news, isn't it? The good news, he's using people. So that means we qualify. You're a person, right? I'm a person. We're people together. It's all great. I qualify to be used by God. But what is the bad news? We're people. And I know in my life that, you know, if we added up our obedience and compared it to our disobedience, you might be the exception to the rule, but I'm going to say that I've probably got more disobedience than obedience. And I think you're lying to yourself if you think otherwise. Because we're people. We have a natural desire to do things our way. I'm going to tell you that this isn't the first time you've ever heard that God's plan is for all things to be restored to him through a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Yet, have you adopted that goal as your goal? If you have not, it's sin. You're saying it's not that important. You can kind of sense your buy-in to God's goal for his plan by your excitement when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Does it thrill your heart when somebody gives their lives to Christ? Or is it a ho-hum, just another day at church, just another moment in time, it's no big deal? You see, what thrills God better thrill us. What God's goal is needs to be our goal. And I'm going to ask the question again. Are you willing to make God's goal your goal? Because brothers and sisters, understand this about yourself. You choose what you're going to do. You choose what your goals will be. No one forces them on you. Certainly not our God. He has given us opportunity and we have the option to join him in his great work. Okay, we talked about goals. Now, I when we think about God using people, we have to say to ourselves, okay, God, I understand that you use people, and I understand what your overarching goal is over all things. Then what's my piece of the puzzle? What's my piece? Because you see, that is the thing that over the next few months we are going to be talking about here at First Baptist. Did a little research. There are over 160 churches here in Jennings County. There are 123 churches in Jackson County, of which some of you are a part of. There are more than that in Bartholomew County. I quit counting. There are more than that in Decatur County. I quit counting. There are really, when you start adding them up, they're probably close to 1,000 churches that are in our Jerusalem. And we're not all doing the same piece of the puzzle. In fact, why has God created First Baptist Church for such a time as this? Why are we here in 2006? I guess because it's 2007, huh? Numbers, got me again. Why do we exist? That's the piece we've got to figure out. And when we nail it down, then brothers and sisters, well, we better be about it. God has a great plan, and He wants to use us. And not every church will have the same call. Not every church will do the same thing. We've got a piece of the pie, and we've got to be about it. Let's investigate how God reveals vision to people. How God reveals what it is that He wants them to do. As we look at making God's goal our goal, I'd like to go back to almost the beginning. I'd like to go back to the second book of the Bible. Go back there with me to Exodus chapter 3. This is the story of Moses and the burning bush. Now think about life as Moses knows it. There certainly have been the stories that Moses heard from his mother and from some of those other people when he was very young. Stories that would have told him about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There would have been the stories that had gone on, but Moses for years now as an adult seems to have walked away from that. Moses didn't really know the living God. And so what happens? I'd like you to just think about Moses' life in the verse that we're going to read, and then we'll talk about it. Look at chapter 3, verse 1 with me. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Stop for a second. Moses is some really super godly guy, right? Wrong. Moses is seeking God here, right? Wrong. Moses is doing just what we do. Moses got a job, take care of his father-in-law's sheep. No, not even his. Moses got a wife. We also know that Moses has children. You know, that's interesting. That's just like me. I got a wife, children, a job. It's just like you. I mean, we're all just living life, aren't we? And Moses is doing that. And it says that he led them all the way across the desert because he's trying to do his job. He's focused on what he thinks is important. He's focused on Moses stuff. He's probably looking down at the desert and he's saying, "I wonder where the water's going to come from. Where am I going to pick that up? Where's the best place to stop and feed these sheep? I've got to take care of the sheep. It's my job. It's not only my job, but it's how I feed my family. And so I'm going to be very focused on that kind of stuff." Moses was all about Moses. Trust me, he's not walking through the desert looking for God. He didn't go there to see where God was. He just happened to end up there, according to Moses. But I want you to see something. Naturally, we are not aware of God's continuous work, action, toward fulfilling His plan. Moses didn't have a clue God was working toward fulfilling a plan. Moses didn't have a clue. We don't have a clue all by ourselves. In fact, the Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul lets us to recognize that there is this thing, this division, this dichotomy between the natural man and the spiritual man. And naturally, I have no concern for the things of God. And in fact, that natural man wells up inside of me at times and says, "Bob, you don't have to be worried about any of that kind of stuff. Just worry about the things that impact you. God doesn't really mind that you're worried about having the way you want it to be." That's the natural man making it all about me. And your life runs the same way. We have this desire to make life revolve around us. We have this desire to be the center of the universe. And it's the natural man that you were born with. Spiritual man, on the other hand, is focused on the things of God. The spiritual person is saying, you know, it doesn't matter what I want or what I think. I'm going to do things God's way. It doesn't matter what I think about money. I'm going to use my money the way God said I'm supposed to use it. It doesn't matter what God, what the people say, what our society says, or what I think about the way my relationship should work. I'm going to do it the way God said it, because I am focusing on the spiritual man, of being what that spiritual being is supposed to be. And we all have the desire to be the natural person. And we don't see that God is always at work moving toward accomplishing His overall goal of restoring all things into right relationship with Himself through the blood of Jesus on the cross. We fail to see it because we can't see it, many of us. And for some of us, the reason we can't see it is because we don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have no spiritual person within us because we've never trusted Christ. We've trusted our work. We've trusted our money. We've trusted our church membership. We're hoping we're going to heaven, but we don't know we're going to heaven. And we can't see the spiritual things because we've never done the first spiritual thing, and that is to say, I need a Savior. We've never believed. So where are you in that? Where are you in that? Why don't you solve that problem in your life right now? Why don't you just not leave this place until you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins? Why don't you invite Him to do that so that the spiritual person can begin to live? For the rest of us, we tend to be overwhelmed with our own sinfulness, our own personal selfishness. We tend to be overwhelmed and to push the spiritual things out of our lives. We're kind of like Moses. We're just wandering through the desert. Wandering, wondering what's going to happen next. Will we be able to feed the sheep? Will we be able to live through this next storm that comes up? Will we be able to find our way back home? What's going to happen in our lives? We're only worried about us. Look what happens to Moses. Because we ask the question, how far is God going to go to break people like us out of our all about me world? And the sooner we admit that we live in an all about me world, the faster God can cut us loose from it. Because if you don't recognize that you live there, if you don't recognize that the world has to revolve around you and that's really how you want it to be, you really aren't being very smart or perceptive of your own life. Because I can tell you, my life needs to be all about Bob. I want it to be that way. I desire it to be that way. And I have to fight against that. Don't you? Here's what God did for Moses. Verse 2, talking about in the desert at the mountain of God, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. What was God trying to do with Moses? He's trying to get his attention, wasn't he? He's trying to say, Moses, I don't want you to be about leading these sheep and taking care of your family and doing all this stuff that you think is important. Moses, I've got a plan for you. He's trying to get Moses' attention, isn't it? Friends, recognize this in your life, my life, everybody's life. God will take extreme measures to encourage our participation in His plan. God has a plan. He wants all things to come into right relationship to Him, with Him, through the blood of Christ, on the cross of Christ. That's His plan, and He's going to take extreme measures to get you to participate, but you're going to have to choose to participate. I wonder how many bushes burned before Moses saw the one that was on fire? Do you think there was more than one? Never says this was unique. You see, I look at Moses' life, and then I look at my own life, and I think, I wonder how many burning bushes I've missed in my life. Because truthfully, I have had a lot of aha moments of times and things that just happened to me that I could not turn. I had to go see what was going on. One of them involves the ministry that just started on Friday here called Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a Christian-based recovery program that enables people like us to shake free through the power of the Spirit of God from the stuff that is bringing us down, through the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups that we have. About 5 years ago, I was at a conference for pastors, and I've already filled out, they give you this sheet allows you to have options of the kinds of things you want to see. And of course, what attracted me were the stuff that I wanted to know about. And so I filled out my sheet of which conference I was going to go to during these hours that were kind of free time. And I'm wandering down the hallway, and I see this sign that says Celebrate Recovery. And I kind of look at it, and I'm going, yeah, but I'm going to this one over here. And I walk down the hallway, and I stopped. It was like something said to me, you have got to go in and find out what this is about. You've got to. And I did. I went in there and I saw. And God just basically, inside of me, convinced me that this was a movement that He wanted to do. In us, through us, right here where we are. That was 5 years ago. And I think about that. I say to myself, I wonder how many times God is burning a bush around me that I've got my head to the ground, that I'm looking for where I'm going to feed the sheep and how I'm going to find water for them. I'm thinking about the stuff that's important to me, and I miss what God is doing. How many burning bushes have you had in your life? How many have you missed in your life? I want to be the kind of follower of Christ that has good peripheral spiritual vision, because it's so easy to spiritualize what I think is important. It's really easy to spiritualize that I can get my way. And what I want to do is be able to see God out here on the edges of my life saying, Bob, 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 stop what you're doing. Listen to me. And I invite you to do the same thing. To seek God and to say, God, open my eyes that I may see what you want me to see. What you want me to see. Because God will take extreme measures to encourage your participation. And God already has. God has done amazing things in your life. He's done stuff that is unexplainable. You have had things inside of you that haven't let you let go of particular thoughts. And you know that something is stirring within you, but yet we fight against doing anything about it often. And we walk past the burning bush. I wonder what Moses would be like if he'd walked past it this time. Oh, maybe God would have brought another burning bush. Maybe it's just around the next corner. Maybe it was the next day. Maybe it was the next year. Or maybe it was the last burning bush. What will you do to follow God's plan and participate in achieving His goal? God speaks to Moses in the seventh verse. He continues and he begins to lay out what Moses will see as his goal. Now, I want you to think about something. Do you recognize how far in advance or more advantaged we are than Moses? Do you know why we're advantaged? Because many of us hold in our hands the Word of God. We have the opportunity to know what God's overall plan is. Do you know Moses didn't know that? He didn't know God's overall plan. I mean, God is going to reveal to him, here's what I'm going to accomplish, here's what I want to do, and I want you to do this. And that's all Moses is going to know. We have the opportunity to see the end. We can read the last chapter. We can know what God is about over all. And we have that great advantage. And because we are blessed so greatly, brothers and sisters, I believe that we will be held to a higher accountability. Because we know. So God speaks to Moses and says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. I want to stop just for a second, and I want you to see. God saw, He heard, He was concerned. There is nothing going on in your life today that God doesn't know about. He has heard your pleas to Him, He has heard your cries, and He is concerned. Look what God does for the Israelites. Verse 8, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. God says, Moses, here's what I want. I want to bring the Israelites out of that oppression. I want to rescue them from the things that are going on. And I want to give them a land of which they can call their own, of which they may dwell. That's the goal, as far as Moses knew. You see, for Moses, the vision and the goal were the same thing. For us, it's not. The goal is different. The goal is the overarching goal that applies to every single body of Christ everywhere in the world simultaneously. God's goal of seeing all things restored to Him and brought into right relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the goal. The vision is smaller. The vision is our piece of that puzzle. But know this. As you look at the circumstances of life, because there are so many things that happen to us that we wonder, how does this fit in to the plan? How can this be? Know that God sees, hears, and responds to the human situation as it furthers His plan. And you know that's hard to see sometimes. On Wednesday of this week, I got word that someone that I would call a friend because of the work that we have done together in Mississippi, Richard Brown, who was the children's pastor at Bioview Baptist Church, was in a car wreck. Friday morning, I got word that he died. On Friday morning at 6 o'clock, I knelt right there at that pew. And my prayer was something like this, God, that church has been through so much. They had a pastor that ended up turning his back on you and leaving the church. They had a hurricane that has destroyed so many of their homes, destroyed much of the church building. The pastor, their associate pastor's wife died just 6 months ago. God, now Richard's problem, don't let him die, God. Give this church a victory. In the name of Jesus, I asked. 3 hours later, Richard's dead. God's plan is so big. God's plan is so marvelous. God's plan involves restoring all things into right relationship with Him through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of that plan, I know that my God is going to use this circumstance to further His plan, or it would not have happened. I can't see it. I don't like it. But I trust God. And I want you to trust God in the stuff of your life too. You're not going to understand because of how big the plan is, the little things that happen in your life, because all you're going to see, what happens to us during those times, is how it impacts us. All we see is how it hurts. All we feel is how it hurts. All we know is how it impacts the people around us. And God says, I've got a plan to restore all things into right relationship to me through the blood of the cross of my Son. Trust me. And so I'm going to trust Him. Tomorrow morning I'm going to leave. And I'm going to represent First Baptist Church at the funeral. Because it's the right thing to do. Because we've made a commitment to stand by that church for 2 years. We thought it was just through a hurricane. But it's through a whole lot more. And they will need encouragement to know that God's plan is alive and well. And that God is still on His throne. And that God sent His Son to die on a cross that all things might be restored to right relationship with Him. And this is just part of that plan. It is so important for us to recognize this as we begin to undertake what is the vision for First Baptist Church. It's so important to recognize that God is on His throne and that He wants and encourages each and every one of us to participate and to be moving forward to where He wants us to be. Because as soon as Satan, who now knows that we're going to try to align ourselves and go in the same direction, Satan is going to say, I don't like that. I mean, Satan much rather would have us pulling on the ropes in all different directions, wouldn't he? Satan would much rather have your pet project being led by you and all those you can encourage instead of all of us focusing on the same thing, moving in the same direction with the momentum that unity can have. We're going to be fighting against stuff. Stuff is going to happen personally in your life, probably personally in my life. And we've got to remember at all times, God is on His throne. His plan is being fulfilled, or it would not occur. God is in control of every molecule in the universe. There's nothing that occurs that He does not know about nor ordain. Everything is okay, no matter what happens. God gets to the place after He tells Moses, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And now Moses has an opportunity to join with God. Look at verse 10 with me. Verse 10 simply says, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Go. Go. I've told you the plan. I've let you know the goal. Now do it. You can't beat up Moses if he says no, can you? I mean, which is what he does. He starts to make excuses. Oh, God can't talk right. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm kind of, you know, I'm just not very good at all this stuff, God. Why? Only because we know we've been called to go. We've been called to go into all the world and make disciples. So if you're going to bust on Moses, could you please bust on me and you and everybody else? Moses has the option to go. In fact, what I see in this passage is very simple, that God invites us to participate in a small piece of His overall plan, just a small piece. Not a big piece, just a little piece. God says, I want you to be involved. I want you to do your piece of the puzzle. And it's Moses' opportunity to say yes or no. And that takes us right to where we need to be. This small look at what a vision might be for a church, this isn't it. Even in 4 weeks, we're not going to really hit this. In fact, if you're on the visioning team, you're going to recognize that there's going to be an intense biblical study that is going to be drawing you to recognize and help the rest of us see what the vision that God has for the existence of the First Baptist Church of North Vernon, Indiana. What is it that we're supposed to be about? But the very first thing we have to set down is, can we buy into the overall goal that God has for His plan? Can you make God's goal your goal? God's goal is to bring into right relationship all things through the blood of Jesus on the cross. Jesus said it another way. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Can you make that your goal? Thank you, Bill. Because that goal is the most important goal you will ever adopt in your life. Because you will be aligning with the Lord God of the universe as you choose that goal. And He will accomplish His goal with you or without you, with us or without us. You know, Joshua came along after Moses. In fact, in Joshua chapter 1, it starts with the words, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Moses said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River to the land I'm about to give to you. Every place that you set foot, I will give you every place where you set foot, as I promised Moses. Same vision, same goal. You see, friends, what we're attempting to discover is not the vision for my time as pastor or your time as a member. We are attempting to discover the vision that God has for the existence of First Baptist Church. Why are we here? And will we do what God has called us, created us to do? I don't know what that vision is necessarily. I think I know, and I am committed to do what God says. This is your piece of the puzzle. This is your little piece in the overall plan. Will you commit to that? Because if you will adopt God's goals, then that means we can adopt God's goals. Seeking and saving that which is lost. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I thank You for opportunity to worship You this morning, to look into Your Word. I thank You, God, that You are such an awesome God. And that for so many of us, we reached the pinnacle of Your plan. On that day that You saved me, You brought me in the right relationship with you through Your Son, through the work of Jesus on the cross. And God, I pray that we would recognize how awesome that is in our lives, that we would appreciate what it means to be in right relationship with You, and that we would be so excited about that we would want others to know. I pray that we would accept Your plan the way You've decided it. Even though we oftentimes think we know better. Well, that sounds dumb. I pray that we would just accept what You are doing. Be just smart enough to do Your way. And so I thank You for that, God. I pray especially for somebody that's in this room or listening right now on the radio or watching TV. They recognize that they really don't want the things that You want. All they want is for you to bless them. All they want is for their family to be made better, for their family and friends to get well, for them to feel good about themselves. And God, they recognize even now that they have no spiritual basis. I pray, God, that they might see Jesus high and lifted up, that they might see His eyes look down on them from the cross, and they might hear His voice saying, "This is for you, my body, broken for you, my blood, shed for you." And so I pray, Father, that Your Spirit draw us to salvation this morning. I pray for many of us as believers who we've gotten so off track that we really think that everything is supposed to be what we want and the way we want it. I ask forgiveness personally for that, God. And I yield myself to Your purpose, Your plans, and Your ways. And I thank You. God, move now. I pray that Your Spirit would move across this room, that it would move through the airwaves, through the radio and the TV, that people even now would have a burning bush experience without the bush, but that they might recognize You. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now, as we bring this service to an end, to publicly make the commitment that God is asking you to do inside your heart. You certainly can stay where you are and make commitments to God. But I challenge you to ask yourself, how many times have you made those commitments and failed on them because nobody knew what you had decided? Why don't you let somebody else be an accountability partner for you? Why don't you be willing to come forward and bring somebody with you and then pray together as brothers and sisters, or brothers and brothers, or sisters and sisters, and to say, "This is what God has told me to do, and I'm committing to Him and to you. I'm going to do it." Or you can just sit where you are. You can leave here as you came. But wouldn't that have been sad for Moses? Wouldn't that have been sad to stand at the burning bush? To hear the voice of the living God cry out, "Moses, I am." And for Moses to leave unchanged? We wouldn't even know Moses' name. Build a legacy. A legacy of spiritual things. Start it right now. Thank you.